Amen. Well, it's good to be in church together with you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's been good already, hasn't it? Praise God as we worship and honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 Got some good things coming up. I know last time anytime we've ever gone to Dennis and Lynn Connors has always been a great blessing. And so you come out. Gives you a chance to, you know, you rub shoulders with the world all week long, and you have things that you're forced to deal with. But when you get around people of like faith in your own company, you're going to get around people that's going to love you and encourage you and talk faith to you and talk the word to you. I tell you, that's vitally, vitally, you know, I listened to that message you want me to listen to. That's vitally, vitally important to all of us and much, much, much needed, praise God. And that happens when we get together. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Yes. Amen. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 12. Amen. Glory. Kay was talking about you have a, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. How many of you know, there's a blessing in yielding to the Holy Ghost just in yielding to Him, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what it is, just in yielding to Him brings a blessing. Even if it's just lift your hands. You have to think back to the first time you ever did that. When you just yield to the Holy Ghost. But when it comes to some of these other things, you know, the Holy Ghost might come on you. You know, He might impress you. He might lead you. He might give you an anointing to, like she said, run, dance, jump, whatever. I mean, you can do those things in the natural. But if the Holy Ghost comes on you, somebody says, well, if you ever see me do that, it'll be God. No, it won't. It'll be you. It'll be you yielding to the Holy Spirit. And if you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, nothing. He can come on you to go raise somebody from the dead, but if you don't yield to Him, nothing would happen. Or to prophesy, or to witness to somebody, or to run. But there's just a blessing. There's a blessing. There's a blessing. Why does God have us do these things? Well, I don't know. When you get to heaven, you can ask Him, why did Jesus spit on the man's eyes? Because the Holy Ghost inspired him and led him and urged him to do that. And something about that triggered faith in the man and released the power of God in his life. Praise God. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. Hallelujah. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words, and this is true in this life as well as the next, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So Jesus said we're going to give an account of every idle word. Last week we said to you that bottom line, an idle word is any word we say that contradicts God's word. Any word we say that contradicts God's word is an idle word, or any word we speak that injures or hurts another person. If you look into the Greek meaning of that word idle, it very much carries that connotation, words that hurt another person. Glory to God. So if God, whatever God says about us, then we're to agree with that. You know, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And it's amazing to me the number of people that want to disagree with God then wonder why they don't get results. Well, we always want to agree with God. How do we agree with God? We agree with what His Word says about us. And then again, verse 37 said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The Rui translation, if I'm saying that right, Rui, R-I-E-U, says this, out of your own mouth you shall be acquitted, and out of your mouth condemned. Glory to God. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Well, who is the justifier? Who justifies us? You know, Romans chapter 8 says God is the one who justifies, and who condemns us? It's the devil. So right off the bat, we get a little hint here, we get a little clue that the words give place to God to justify us and acquit us and bless us and do good things for us. But negative words, wrong words, idle words open the door to the devil to come in and condemn us in some way or another. And that was the, you know, the emphasis of our message last week. you know, which we're continuing. Spiritual forces are real. How many of you know that? There is a genuine spirit. God is a spirit. Angels are spirit. Demon spirits. The spiritual world is real. Spiritual forces are real. And spiritual warfare is real. And God knows the power of our words, and so does the devil. And God and Jesus and angels pay close attention to what we say. Hebrews 13:1 says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. But you see, the devil and demon spirits also pay close attention to what we say. And we know from many scriptures that we bear the consequences of what we say, either for good or for bad. But here's how it works, and this is what we emphasized last week. Our words, spoken in faith and love, see, those are not idle words. When you speak words of faith, when you speak words of love, words of encouragement, everything that that means. Our words, spoken in faith and spoken in love, that line up with God's words, when we speak those words with conviction. In other words, they come out of the abundance of the heart. We really believe them. Glory to God. Amen. When we do that, those words empower and give the Holy Spirit and angels something to work with. God is looking for something to work with. And we often say, well, faith gives God something to work with. But what is faith? Faith is to believe something in your heart, and you got to get it out of your heart. You got to release it. And how do you release it? With the words of your mouth. So again, our words that line up with God's words, that we speak with conviction because they're from the heart, they empower and give the Holy Spirit and angels something to work with to cause blessings and victory and well-being to come to pass in every area of our lives. But words of fear, words of doubt, words of unbelief, words that injure another person, that are out of line with what God says, empower and open the door to the devil and demonic spirits to bring negative and hurtful things to our lives, to defeat us and destroy our well-being and happiness and health. Glory to God. Well, if that's so, then what we say is extremely important. Amen? So are words really that important? Are words really that important? Well, Psalms 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. All the heavens were made by the word of the Lord. Verse number 9 says, he spoke and it was done. And Hebrews 11:3 says that God by faith created the universe by his words. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, if that doesn't show the power of words, then I don't know what does. Amen. God said, let there be, and it was. Amen. Somebody says, well, that shows the power of God's word, but what does the Bible say about my words? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look over in Proverbs. Proverbs, amen. Proverbs chapter 6. And this is just a casual glance. There are many, many other scriptures other than the ones we're going to look at. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 2. Proverbs 6, 2. You know, Proverbs gives us the wisdom of God, amen, in order to succeed and live victoriously and godly, holy lives where we're a blessing to others. And Proverbs has much, much, much to say about our words. So Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken, you're caught, you're captured by the words of your mouth. Amen. Well, our enemy would like to snare us. He would like to capture us. Glory to God. And I realize that in context, this is talking about if you become surety for somebody, if you guarantee somebody's debt, then you're snared by the words of your mouth. But the principle applies to all areas of life. So again, it says you're snared, amen, you're taken by the words of your mouth. If some kind of animal is trapped or snared or caught, that's not a good thing. That means somebody's about to get killed. I mean, just about to be skinned or eaten. And so we don't want to be snared. Do we have an enemy? Well, if the devil traps us or ensnares us or catches us, then what's he going to do? Well, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So we don't want that. Amen. We don't want to be trapped by the words of our mouth. And then Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 3. Some of this is review from last week. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Amen. Glory to God. I'm sorry, that's Proverbs. What did I read? Proverbs 13:3. Yes. And so the Good New Translation says, be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. Your own words condemn you. Your own words condemn you. Amen. And then Proverbs 12:13. Proverbs 12:13 says, the wicked is ensnared. See, again, we're talking about being caught, being trapped, ensnared by the transgressions of his lips, by words. Again, this is talking about a particular usage of words, but again, the principle applies. But the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. So the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of their lips. Just another application again. Glory to God. And so we don't want that. And then let's look at Proverbs 21, 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whosoever guards his mouth and tongues keeps his soul from troubles. Plural, troubles. How many of you want to stay out of trouble and not have troubles? Well, you're going to have to guard your mouth. Today's Passion Translation says, watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you'll have. Isn't that good? Praise God. And then finally, many others, but finally, let's look at Proverbs 18, verse number 20. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. In other words, you're going to eat your words. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And as we said last week, it doesn't get any more serious than that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It doesn't get any more serious than that. And in essence, this says we experience the consequences of what we say for life or death. So I can imagine somebody being in heaven and talking to Jesus one day and saying, now, Lord Jesus, I don't understand why such and such happened to me when I was on earth, and this happened to me when I was on earth, and this happened to me when I was on earth, and this happened to me. And Jesus said, well, with your words, you gave place to the devil in your life. And he would, and you go, you mean that confession stuff? I didn't think any of that stuff really was true or really mattered. And Jesus is going to say, you mean you didn't think the Bible, my word, was the truth? And they're going to go, oh, every single thing he says is the truth. The Amplified Bible, amen, of this passage says, a man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. He will be satisfied with the consequences of his words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it. Every time you speak, you're indulging it. And those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. The Message, verse 21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Say, I choose life. Amen. And so we need to realize two things here. Number one, we haven't understood this as clearly as we should have. Number one, the devil and demons carefully monitor our words. They pay attention to our words. Because when we continually, with conviction, say and speak wrong words, he is enabled to move in and cause us all kind of troubles in this life. And then number two, we need to realize and understand the devil will, he's a schemer. You know, that's what the Bible describes him as, a plotter, a schemer. And he will plot and scheme and work very, very hard, even from the time you're just a young person. He'll drive you and pressure you because of the circumstances. He'll drive you and suggest things to your senses and make you feel those things that are not true, and suggest things to your mind for the purpose of getting you to believe and say things that are not true. Because when you believe and say, I can't, then you can't. When you believe and say, I'm sick, then that gives him right to move in and bring that sickness to you. When you believe and say, nobody loves me, or nothing is going right for me lately, I'm just tired all the time. I'm tired all the time. I just can't handle it. Well, when you say you can't handle it, I can't handle this, I can't handle that, You know, I get sick every flu season. Every flu season I get sick. More appropriate today. Every pollen season, I'm just going to have all kind of trouble with my sinuses. Well, it's just a fact. Well, whose fact? Glory to God. I can't be happy unless I engage in this type of wrong behavior. Or 1,001 other things that are not in line with the Bible and are not true. Nevertheless, when you speak them out of your heart because you believe them, he is empowered, the devil that is empowered and enabled to use those words against you and cause them to come to pass in your life based on spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth comes to pass. Just like gravity is a spiritual law. Somebody says, I don't believe in gravity. Doesn't matter whether you believe it in or not. It's holding you down in that seat or you'd be floating around the building right now. Doesn't matter whether you're aware of it or not. Doesn't matter if you know it or not. And it is a spiritual law that what you believe in your heart, what you really believe in your heart and say with your mouth comes to pass in your life. Amen. Spiritual laws are designed to bless us and make us a blessing. But Satan knows these laws work. He knows that he can twist them and pervert them and cause evil in our life. It's like fire. Fire works. Fire will cook your food, cook you a good meal. Fire will warm your house. Fire will keep you from freezing to death. But fire also burn your house down. But fire works. Just depends on how it's used. Can you say amen? And likewise, see, what we truly, truly believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth comes to pass for good or evil. Amen. The law works. It works for life or it works for death. It was designed by God to bring life and blessings to us, but the devil wants to use it to bring death and bad things to us. Glory to God. So again, words of life enable the Spirit of God to move in our behalf, but words of death enable the devil to move in our behalf. Glory to God. And again, the devil tracks and pays attention to our words, even if we don't. He's looking for an opportunity to move in and steal, kill, and destroy because of the wrong words we speak. I mean, have you ever noticed this? We see this. I don't want to pass something here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me read you something from Proverbs 18 that I think is really good from Andrew Womack here. This is from his Proverbs, and this is his footnote, his notes on those, his commentary on those. He quotes Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now listen to what he says, because this is really good. He said, I've learned when I hear doubt and unbelief, whether it's directed at me or just in general, it is a weapon from Satan. Now listen very carefully. I've learned that when I hear doubt and unbelief, whether it's directed at me or just in general, it's a weapon from Satan who is trying to get me to accept that unbelief, trying to get me to agree with it. As an example is how everyone says that it's flu season and everyone's going to get the flu. That may not be directed at me, but if I don't come against it, unbelief will be planted in me. It will cause me to think that I'm just like everyone else and have to get sick. But that's not what the Word teaches. There's no season that the Word of God doesn't work in. I don't have to be sick with the flu, with a cold, or with anything else. Some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird for just accepting sickness and putting up with it. When 1 Peter 2:24 says that by the stripes of Jesus you've been healed. So when I hear something like that, I come against it. I'll condemn it right then, according to Isaiah 54:17. In other words, he's saying, if somebody tries to get me to agree with them about something that's not in line with the Word of God, or if I just hear it in general, just on the news or just on TV, or he said, I'm not going to let that lie. I'm not going to just put up with it. I'm going to speak out right then and say, I don't accept that. I don't receive that. I condemn that, and that will not be true in my life. Amen. You can ask my wife or others who've been with me. If I listen to the news at all, it's typically in the car because it's in short 2-minute segments and they can do so much damage in that period of time. And they can't do too much damage in that period of time. I'm interested to know what's going on, so I'll listen. But even in that short time, they'll say it's flu season. Or say it's and I'll say it's not flu season for me. I'll say it's not flu season for me. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I don't believe in getting the flu, and I don't get sick. I immediately condemn it and counter it. There's something to be said here. I've learned that if I counter it right when I hear something, that I don't have to deal with it later. But sometimes I'm in front of people and they'll say things like this. I had this sore on my ear for years. Listen to what he says. I had this sore on my ear for years, and I'd have people say, that's melanoma. I had doctors say things like this to me. Satan tried to cause me to get into unbelief and fear through people, and I learned that if I didn't say anything in an effort not to offend people, then I'd have to get by myself and rebuke what I heard. Every word that comes out of our mouths is either life or death, and it produces fruit. Every time people speak negative words over us, they've just spit seeds into our hearts. Over time, those seeds will start germinating and producing results. But if we will stop it the moment we hear it and say, no, you don't in the name of Jesus, I don't accept this, the seeds will never get a chance to germinate. It's like water off a duck's back. Most people won't do this. When I had people speak negative things over me, I'd just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And I'd counter it, talking about his ear. Sometimes people would understand what I was saying, and sometimes they wouldn't. Sometimes people would take offense, and sometimes people would agree with me. But I don't care what they did. I wasn't going to let them plant a seed of doubt in my heart. Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and they're in the power of your tongue. They're in the power of every word we hear. And if we ever hear anything contrary to the word of God, we need to condemn it right then. We need to stop that seed from germinating. There is something that every person can take away today. We need to ask the Lord to bring this verse back to our remembrance. We need to spend a few moments to memorize and meditate on it. And we need to start evaluating every word we say and every word that is spoken and directed toward us. We should think about those words. And if any are contrary to what we're believing for or what the word says, we should condemn them, reject them, and counter them one way or another. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. I mean, I know, I, just general conversations where you have to watch yourself. You'll be talking to somebody, and they'll start talking some kind of fear, some kind of doubt, or some kind of unbelief. Today, in this economy, you just can't get ahead. This economy, nobody make any money. You're going, wait, no, I don't agree with that. Or you can just say, yeah, I know what you're saying is right. You do? Then your words just contradicted what the Bible said. And your words just gave place to the devil. So that as long as things are going bad and there's some kind of recession or some kind of stupid government, you can't hardly buy groceries today. I know what you're saying. No, I don't know what you're saying. Now listen, I don't like stupid government programs that cause economic hardships that are unnecessary and cause things to cost too much unnecessarily. But I don't care what they do. Philippians, the Bible's still true. My God richly supplies all of my needs according to His glory, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't care if people charge things too much because of greed or because of stupidity or because of hidden agendas, so they can support some liberal agenda or whatever. I don't like it, but I'm not going to say that I'm not blessed no matter what's going on. Because heaven's economy, heaven doesn't have any recessions. And heaven doesn't have any stupidity up there. And the word of God's true no matter what men do or say down here. Glory to God. That's what I say. That's what I agree with in the name of Jesus. Amen. But we were making the point that the devil tracks and pays attention to our words, even if we don't, looking for an opportunity to move in to steal, kill, and destroy because of the wrong words we speak. We've all seen those movies, you know, movie or TV show, it doesn't matter. We've all seen this many, many times where here's the police or here's the FBI, and they've got a guy wired. You know what I'm talking about? He's going undercover to talk to some criminal. Maybe this person's a horrible committed heinous crime, murdered several people. Maybe he's into sex trafficking. Maybe he's some kind of drug lord, and they just hadn't been able to capture him. But they send in a spy, or they send in an undercover agent, and you know it's tense, it's dangerous, because if they find out he's wearing a wire, this guy's, you know, it's always dangerous. They're going to kill him. They're going to shoot him. But they send him in there, and they're out there. You know, they're outside. They're out sitting in the van, and they're listening to every single word that's said. They're listening Talking about the devil will track your words. They're listening to every single word this person does, just in ordinary conversation. Why? And they've got the SWAT team just around the corner, you know, hid. Because they want this guy to incriminate himself. They want him to speak words. They want him to say something like, oh, yeah, yeah. But they want him to brag about how he killed so-and-so. They want him to talk about, I'll tell you what, we'll bring the drugs across the board. They want him to say something that will stand up in a court of law that will incriminate him, that they can use against him. And so sometimes, you know, they'll start to move in because it's starting to be dangerous, you know, and the guy will go, no, wait. He hadn't said anything yet. But then all of a sudden the guy will say something to incriminate himself. And the second he does, somebody will say, we got him. And they'll all throw off their helmets. They'll all rush in with their guns drawn, amen, and arrest the guy and send him to prison. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, in the same way, the devil listens very closely to our words. He plans and schemes and does his best to put pressure on us to get us to believe things and say things that are contrary to the Word of God. He wants us to incriminate ourselves. He wants our very own words to give him access into his life. Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen. And so I'm going to do, I think what Andrew Womack said is very, very good too. It's not just the words you speak with when words are thrown at you. You know, I say that all the time. I say it to myself quite often, every week for 40 years plus. The news media, somebody just in general say, no, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to say that. No, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. You're going to have to condemn it. You're going to have to speak against it and not accept it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Don't accept it. Don't agree with it. Don't speak it out. Again, I don't like inflation that's caused by wrong government policies and mismanagement and stupidity. I was riding down I-75, you know, going to Jacksonville, Florida one time in a particular city. Yeah, I'm going to name it. Macon, Georgia. I was born in Macon, Georgia. You know, this is back 20 years ago, so $8 million back then is a lot more than $8 million today. But their school system was just, they were just behind, and they were just, you know, scraping the bare bone. And lo and behold, they found $8 million they didn't even know they had. Boneheads, you know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever let the devil have the last word. I heard my good buddy Don Atkins say that years ago. It always stuck with me. Don't ever let the devil have the last word. Glory to God. You're not smart. Don't let him have the last word. You'll never make it. You'll probably die young. Nobody loves you. You're not normal. Look at you. You're not normal. Oh, everybody else thinks you're weird. You see, this happens to people when they're just kids, and it affects their life for the next till they die. You're weird. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. All a lie. Don't let those thoughts take root. Cast them down. Rebuke them. Rebuke them. You're a man in a woman's body. That's a lie. Rebuke those thoughts. And when he suggests some wrong thought to you, when he suggests one wrong thought with you, you come back at him with 10 scriptures. Somebody says, well, I don't know 10 scriptures. Well, you better go find them then. What's a wrong thought? Any thought that's not in line with God's word is a wrong thought. If you're in the store and you put something in your pocket by accident and you say, nobody even saw that. I could walk out of this without paying for it. What would you do? Well, because you're honest and full of integrity, you say, you get behind me, Satan. I resist that in the name of Jesus. I'm not a thief. Well, if a fear thought comes to you, that comes from the devil. You ought to resist it and stand against it, just like you do a thought to steal something. If any thought that says that you're not loved and not forgiven and so forth and you're rejected, you ought to resist those thoughts. Condemn them. Reject them. Counter them with the truth. And only say what God says, no matter how you feel. I said, in everyday life, only say what God says, no matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like. Just simply say what God says. Amen. It's clear from scriptures that Satan only has authority over us when we give it to him. And wrong words definitely give him authority in our lives. Words control our lives. Negative words, wrong words, give Satan access into our life. That's true whether you like it or not. That's true whether you believe it or not. But the devil knows it's true, And as far as he's concerned, every wrong word that you speak can and will be used against you. So if you ever say something stupid, catch yourself and say, no, I shouldn't have said that. I repent of that. I don't agree with that. Glory to God. Margaret was telling me last week, you know, we were talking about and the way you talk to others, because you don't want to be the one planting seeds of doubt and seeds of fear and seeds of unbelief and seeds of rejection, seeds of hurt and so forth into other people's lives, especially your children. And, you know, I always jokingly say, you know, some parents say to their kids, come here, you little idiot. You'll probably be in jail before you're 20 years old. Dear God. Well, I think most people know better than that. Not everybody, but most people. But don't even say things like you're helping them with their math problems, you know, and you say, you're just not good at math. You're just not very good at math. You're just not very clever. You're just not very fast on your feet. What are you doing? Letting the devil use you to sow some word into their heart that could affect them for the rest of their lives. Amen. Let's look at James chapter 3. James, the Lord's half-brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. James 3, verse number 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Why? Because teachers speak words, and you're going to be held accountable for the words you speak, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. He's likening that to your tongue. Your tongue is controlling and directing your life. Even so boasts the tongue. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You know, have some fire burning tens of thousands of acres and started by one little match, one little cigarette. And the tongue is a fire. Notice verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our bodies that it defiles. He's talking about when it's used the wrong way. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. This is one of the most difficult verses in the Bible for people to translate. So the best thing I can do instead of trying to break it down to the Greek is let me just give you what some different translations say. The Amplified Bible says, the tongue, we're talking about tongue not being used wisely, but use, you know, words full of doubt, fear, unbelief, hate, and so forth. The tongue sets on fire the course of our life. Then in parentheses it says, the cycle of a man's life. The Contemporary English Version says, the tongue sets a person's entire life on fire with flames that come from hell itself. The Easy Reading Version says, the tongue can spoil the whole person. Like a fire, it can destroy all of a person's life. Amen. I tell you, if we just get a little ahead, something always comes up and something breaks, you know, something goes wrong. And we get ahead. Every trip we plan, something goes wrong. Really? USB Greek Word Study says, and the tongue is like a fire. It is a world full of evil that lives in our bodies and spreads evil our whole lives. It sets our whole life on fire using flames that come from hell itself. Verse number 7. For every kind of beast and a bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man, apart from the Holy Ghost, apart from the Word of God and his own self, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Say, it ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh. Hallelujah. Well, these things ought not to be so. If you say, nothing's going right for me lately. Ever stop to think about that? Nothing ever goes right for me. and you say it with conviction. Do you ever stop to think about it? You are cursing yourself. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you were some kind of witch and you was wanting to put a curse on somebody, you'd go, or whatever they do, you know, may nothing ever go right for you. May nothing ever go right for you. I put this curse on them that lately, and that they always get tired. When you say that, you're pronouncing a curse on your own self. My brethren, these things ought not be so. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Riding home for church, you go, that burned car, it's the worst car we ever had. This thing is I'm telling you, it breaks down every time we put a car. I pray that the car always has bad problems. But you're doing it to yourself. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, we take 3 steps forward and 2 back. I don't like them. I hate their guts. Let's light a candle and kill a chicken. When they take 3 steps forward and they think they're advancing, then they'll take 2 steps back. That's a curse, isn't it? You're cursing yourself. Say it with conviction. Mean it. I tell you what, if I wash my car, it always rains. Every time I wash my car, it rains. I wash my car and it rains. Every time I wash my car, it instantly rains. I go out there and spend 2 hours washing my car and it started raining. But do you really believe that? I ain't real mad at them, but I don't like them. Every time they just wash their car. May it rain. These things you're saying are a curse. These kids are getting worse every time, every day. Really? And don't curse others. Your kids are getting worse every day. You know, so-and-so, he's not going to make it. You're pronouncing a curse on him, aren't you? They're always messing up. They're no good. They're not going to make it. If you don't want something to happen to yourself or to someone, then don't say it. I said, if you don't want something to happen, then don't say it. It's not in line with the Word of God anyway. Come on up here. Hey, let's put this over here.
I was listening to Terry Lynn Savelle, and she was talking along these lines, and she said, after you say something like that, if to break that habit, she said, follow it with, and that's just the way I want it. I get tired all the time, and that's just the way I want it. You know, my kids, they're just run crazy, and that's just the way I want it. You know, he won't eat nothing, and that's just the way I want it. But I thought that was good.
Yeah,
that's just the way I want
it. Yeah. Amen. That's good. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Praise God. So James said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Love you, Lord. Driving home from work. These kids are driving me crazy. Blessing and cursing. These things ought not be so. What should we say? Ephesians 4:29, Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Other translation says that builds up others. Words that's the Amplified regular, that's not the classic. Words bring edification or build others up and is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, how many scriptures do we have to believe? I mean, how many scriptures do you have to look at? You know, in the Old Testament, when they were about to go into the Promised Land, they sent out the spies, you know, and the ten came back and said, there are giants in the land, we're like grasshoppers, and we cannot take the land. They believed in their heart they could not take the land, they said they could not take the land, and they did not take the land. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to go up and possess it. Saw the same giants, saw the same walled cities, saw the same great armies. But they said, based on what God said, even though it didn't look like it was true, but because God said you're well able, they said we're well able to go up and take the land. And they did, in fact, take the land. So I want to close with this. This is an old book. Here's a scripture we didn't read. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Amen. That's Proverbs 15:4, written in 1980. And she says this, our tongue can be our greatest asset or our greatest liability. Our tongue can be our worst enemy or best friend. A gracious tongue can make a plain person beautiful, or a hateful tongue can make a beautiful person ugly. You ever seen that? I've seen that right before my eyes. Somebody was fairly attractive and fairly good looking, and they started, and you thought, ooh, geez, they're ugly. The tongue or the spoken word will make or break your marriage. Words make your home either heaven or hell. Words either draw your children closer to you or drive them away. Words can make friends or cause you to lose them. Words can cause injury or heal a broken heart. Words can defend a good cause or, when not spoken, allow an evil influence to go unchecked. By our words, we either honor God or curse God. Words draw people to Jesus or send them away. Words cause faith to rise up within us and allow us to call those things that be not as though they were. Our words of doubt open us up to fear, depression, bondage, and destruction. God used words to create the universe. Words are the most powerful force in the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I wrote this down. I remember this way from the past. And maybe I'll print these out. Somebody probably asked me anyway. I'll print these out and try to have them for you next Sunday. But this is my never again list. So say this. Say, never again.
Will
I confess lack.
Well, I confess lack.
For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's Philippians 4:19. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it literally says, my God shall richly supply or fully supply or abundantly supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory to God. See that's speaking a blessing over your life. That's speaking a blessing over somebody else's life. Praise God. Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
Will I confess condemnation?
Will I confess condemnation?
For there is no condemnation,
condemnation
to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Romans
8:1. Never again. Will I confess fear?
Well, I confess fear.
For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Never again.
Never again.
Will I confess weakness?
For
the Lord is the strength of my life.
Psalms
27:1. Many other scriptures. Never again. Will I confess sickness? For by his stripes I was healed, and I am healed. Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4-5, and 1 Peter 2:24. Never again.
Never again.
Never again. Will I confess
that
the devil has dominion over my life. For Satan and sin have no dominion over me. And greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Well, Romans 6 and 1 John 4:4, many other places. Never again, will I confess
bad luck
and curses.
For
Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13-14.
Never again
will I confess
that I have a troubled, confused mind.
For I have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16.
Never again
will I confess
failure and defeat.
For if God be for me,
no
one can stand against me. Romans 8:31. And of course, there's many scriptures.
Never again.
Never again.
Never again
will I confess defeat.
Because
God always causes
me
to triumph in Christ Jesus. Say that one again.
God always causes
me.
God
always causes me.
God
always causes
me
to triumph in Christ
Jesus.
Now shout about
that just a little bit.
Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory
to God.
Amen.
And you can add to that list. My never again list. Well, those are all scriptures, aren't they? And the scripture references I gave, some of them you could have gave a lot more. I mean, there's not just one that back up what I said. There's 15, 20, 25, even beyond that sometimes to back it up. Well, is that the truth? Is that God's word? Should you say anything that's not the truth? Can you believe something that's not the truth and feel like it's not the truth and act like it's not the truth and think it's the truth? Yes, people do that every single day of their lives. If I could get you to really, 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 genuinely, genuinely believe that you're a dog and get you to say, then you'd get down on all fours and you'd act like a dog, even though it's not true. But you'd feel like one, you'd act like one, and you'd think you was one, but it wouldn't be truth. And the devil tries to get kids and grown-ups and 70-year-olds to think they're losers and no good and unworthy and 1,001 other things. And people say, but it's true. I have feelings that back it up. You can see it's not true. It's a lie. If it contradicts God's word, it's not the truth. But ultimately and finally, what makes it real or not real in your life is when you release it by speaking words. Never again. Say it. Never again.
Never again.
I put a watch over my words. And never again. Will I intentionally say things that disagree with God's word. And if you do, just catch yourself and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or what did you say, Terry? She said, and that's just the way I want it. My kids are just full of the devil, and that's just the way I want it. Every time we go to visit, every time we go to a restaurant, they just act out. And that's just the way I want it. three steps forward, two steps back, and that's just the way I want it. Sick all the time. That's just the way I want it. You did that real good, Timmy. Come up here and do that to the whole crowd. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on, brother. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shared this with Sister Kay last Sunday. After the same message.
Yeah.
I was working here in Cleveland in a little place. And I was born again. Been listening to Kenneth Copeland about speaking.
Yeah.
And of course, at the time, I was not in church. I was not doing what God had basically told me to do. And we was building this machine there, and we was about done with it, and I asked him if they was going to put a guard on that chain up there, and they said no. Well, out of my mouth came, it'll be my luck I get caught.
Uh-huh.
And I knew better, and I knew I could put that weapon down that was formed against me, but I didn't. I just let it go. 1 month later, I got caught.
Wow.
And I knew what to do, but I didn't do it. For whatever reason, I didn't do it. I just let it ride at that. But my words snared me.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as my brother Don Atkins said, don't let the devil have the last word. Don't ever let the devil have the last word. I was listening to the funeral of Brother Jerry Savelle the other day. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful service. Get a chance to watch that. It's about 3 hours long, but it's very good. But, you know, she was, Carolyn Savelle, they just taped her. She's sitting right there, but they taped her. And she talked about how Jerry had that stroke and miraculously recovered from that, if you know the testimony. Very miraculously. You know, didn't even know his name, but very quickly, very miraculous, recovered. And she said, but they wanted him to come back and have a procedure. And he said, he never did. And she said, we were on him, the two girls and I, we were on him. You need to have that done. And so he had it scheduled for right when the pandemic started, COVID. So they canceled everything. Then he never went back. And she said, we know in our hearts that Jerry died because he never went back to the doctor and had that procedure like he knew he should have.
That's an interesting thought, isn't it?
So we believe in divine healing, but God uses doctors. Don't ever forget that. Don't realize that. But she said, you know, she went through a terrible, 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 terrible time. I won't go into the details. Very terrible. Very, very unspeakable. And she's talking to her dad and pouring her heart out. And one of the things he said to him, he said, you know, that was one of Jerry's main messages. We don't quit. Savelle's don't quit. Savelle's don't quit. We don't quit. Savelle's don't quit. And she said, I just kind of looked off to the side, you know, with all my problems. And he said, well, what are you thinking? And she said, I'm thinking I must be adopted. So listen, the pressures of life can be real. But I don't care how much pressure is put on you and how much the devil squeezes you, you watch your tongue and you make sure that the only thing that comes out of your mouth is what God says and what God says about you. Amen. Say amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. We love you so much. Praise you, Lord.